That's the right sting, eh?
I think so.
I think that is the right sting. It's going.
It's going on a while.
It's fine.
Okay, it's gone.
We're live.
Cool.
Hello.
As promised.
Hello, you sicko.
Second week in a row.
How are you doing, you beautiful fella?
G'day, mate. Yeah, good. Thank you. Good. How are you?
Do you know what, mate? You're running a pink... If I can paint a picture for the listeners right now.
Sure.
You are the epitome of Novalak Fashion School. Running a pink linen shirt, the white linen trousers there, and I saw you walk in with the Loro Ziaras there. Blue.
They're actually the Bexleys that I got in Provence.
Oh, Provence.
Which, so those are actually the slightly nicer ones. So somebody, they're sort of like an azure blue, if you will, sort of like a, how do you say in English, like a sort of ocean blue.
No, but you're looking
aqua.
Hot.
Yeah, and then this is the coral shirt. Somebody said I looked like the Dutch flag.
You look hot, mate.
Thanks, mate.
You look extremely hot for what is an absolutely scorching day here in the United Kingdom.
Hottest day of the year, I think.
I think it is definitely indeed. It sounds like the British summer has finally arrived.
How hot?
And on that note, we've decided to try a Chianti.
We've gone for a rich red wine on this.
We've gone for a rich red wine to sort of match the weather there. A font. Terutoli,
yeah,
oh, from 2021.
Yeah, and I should actually just say for the listeners as well, if you hear any outbursts, one, England is playing, who are they playing?
I think they're playing Slovenia.
Oh yeah, they're playing Slovenia. And also if you hear any other outbursts, that's Filipe Drugovic in the background.
Yes, so Filipe has decided to join us on just...
Hello!
There you go. So you sort of heard him in the background there. He's sort of joining us from the sidelines there. He's not really got much input. He says he's a bit tired there from his...
Side piece, Drugovic is just garrying in the corner.
He's garrying in the corner. He's had a very rough weekend in Barcelona, not doing much at all, being the usual potted plant. Yeah. But should we go on ahead and try the wine?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's give it a go. This Chianti red there. How about the bouquet, James?
Well, I'm starting with the color, actually. It's a nice, almost like a cranberry red.
Yeah, it is definitely quite a dark red there. Sort of Syrah, very close.
Okay, Syrah.
Syrah, indeed.
Whatever will
be. Give it a twirl there and give a bit of the...
Ooh, quite a very punchy bouquet.
Very punchy.
Quite. What's the alcohol content in this? It smells strong.
It does actually smell very strong. It is quite a young Chianti. We're looking at 13.5%, so not the strongest we've seen, but definitely the bouquet jumps to the nostrils, don't it?
Very penetrative.
Penetrative.
Sorry, one too many ticks.
Definitely
it's done well with even just a little bit of air. It's not quite as aggressive on the senses as it first was on the second run at the bouquet.
No, but it definitely it's got a very complex bouquet there.
Mm. There's something behind it.
There's definitely some oak. It's oak aged, of course. It's a Chianti Classico. Classico meaning it's been aged a little bit in oak barrels there.
I'm getting a little bit of red meat.
Bit of red meat. I'm getting pepper. And sort of leathery as well. You know, sort of like a brand new car.
Yeah, that new car smell that you really want in your red wines. All right, well, should we actually taste it?
Should we actually just
huffing wine at this point.
Yeah, we shall get to taste the old Chianti right, there.
Round, yet sharp, in the
very
right
sharp.
Places.
Indeed, very sharp.
But it's got quite a nice body to it, if I can paraphrase a certain friend of ours.
She does have a good body on her.
We're not saying who that is.
But no, definitely some very round, quite pleasant on the tongue. Not too much of an aftertaste.
Oh, very dry, actually.
Quite dry, yes, indeed.
Very dry on the tongue. I hadn't picked that up first time around.
But definitely a good Chianti, I would call it that, to be honest.
Nice enough.
What it needs is a couple of years in the cellar.
It does, actually.
I think a couple of years of aging, and you'd get a Fontaroli. Now, I'm going to say it letter by letter for the viewers there. F-O-N-T. Yeah,
so you pronounced it wrong. Should we pronounce it right before you go ahead?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do that.
So it's Fontarutoli.
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 We've just bought this off the corner shop there called Whole Foods.
The cheapest Chianti they had at Whole Foods.
But I was really thinking Chianti was the right vibe for today. And I think, honestly, it's hit the spot.
That's quite nice, actually. It's almost... the sort of the dryness to it is quite nice with the heat as well.
Exactly. Yeah. What would you grade it on your scale there from 1 to 10?
Okay, so...
And really get deep into those numbers.
I'm going to be quite thorough here.
Yeah.
For me, it starts 6, then it goes probably high.
And then it sort of mellows out.
I'm going to go with 6.85. I'm going to go 6.85.
6.85. You see, I thought that the initial taste was a bit too rough for my liking.
Yep.
But it really bounced up, like you said, to a very solid note, sort of the sort of second taste there, the aftertaste there was very, very good. But the length in the mouth isn't quite so long. And so I'm going to grade it a... 6.24.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
I would go 6.242, but I thought for the viewers it would make more sense to round it down or round it up.
Because you don't want to, I mean, the last thing we want to do is overcomplicate anything.
You don't want to overload.
No.
So 6.24,
yeah,
I think, is the solid number there that we're looking for the Fontarutoli Chianti Classico from 2021. Now, James, plenty has happened over the weekend.
Indeed.
What are your thoughts about everything that's happened in the racing world?
That's quite a broad stroke question.
Well, we're talking mainly the two huge events,
if
obviously.
We look at the pinnacles. Right?
It's the IndyCar and it's the Formula One.
Yeah. So
thoughts.
Thoughts, please. Okay, so what happened in the Formula One? Let's recap. So Norris whacked it on pole. Good on him.
Then basically if you start on third in Spain, that's the same as pole, right? That's what we figured out.
Well, I think definitely George Russell came out with a crazy start.
Because Norris really let me down, actually, with that start, because I had 10 quid on him to lead the first lap, Max to lead the fifth, and Max to lead the 10th. So if he'd just got his clutch positioning right, I could have been about 90 quid up the road.
So you've unfortunately got let down on a bet. Hence, yes, your sort of not. No, I wouldn't go to. I wouldn't go as far as hatred.
That's
but
my
your,
only public
your
grievance.
Annoyance.
My only public grievance with Lando Norris is that he's shot himself in the foot. Let's be honest; he's probably more irritated with himself than I am.
He definitely was on the podium.
Well, there you go. And so, yeah, no, he's. Well, I wouldn't say he's cost me any money.
No, you've lost.
Know what I mean? I've lost 10 quid. I've done that on my own volition, but his actions have meant that I haven't won money.
I see what you mean. No, yeah, pretty crazy weekend, to be honest. Kind of anticlimactic there in the last 5 laps. I thought Lando would really sort of give a go at Max Verstappen.
Did you?
Well, I just thought that the McLaren was, I think, the faster car all over the weekend.
Yeah, correct.
And it's just such a shame that it didn't come down to a little bit of a tussle there in the last couple of laps.
Well, I mean, the crazy thing... Right, I mean, amongst the sort of lesser intelligent people on the spaces of Twitter and such, is like you cannot say...
X, actually.
Sorry, X, my apologies, Elon. Anyone who says all the cars, the Red Bull, it's like, well, it's almost... Okay, you can disrespect Max Verstappen all you want now in my book. I don't give a shit. They've been doing it long enough. But now, like, you're throwing shade at Perez now, if you're still saying it's the car. He's not that crap.
No, I see. That's another misconception that I think a lot of the fan base, unfortunately, due to the fact that Max Verstappen's dominated the last 2 years, it's made him look almost imperial, and to the point where everybody believes that car is the fastest car by miles.
Yeah.
This year alone, I honestly believe the McLaren is the most well-rounded cars, and in certain cases, actually the fastest car on track.
Yeah, Max is just that good is the bottle on the pill of the hard to swallow aisle at Boots, isn't it? It's just, I'm sorry, but he is just that good.
Yeah, no, let's be honest and, you know, plain and simple, he is driven so far what I would call an amazing year. I still believe the Red Bull was the faster car in the first few races, but since those introductions around the sort of Imola time,
since McLaren's
comeback
tour,
This McLaren, has been outrageously fast.
McLaren weren't far off either, actually. It was George Russell getting busy down.
You're talking about Mercedes well. There, brother.
Sorry,
not McLaren.
We've actually both just done it.
Yeah, exactly. We've just done it. Do you know, M's, you sort of get twisted.
Didn't Hamilton got tripped up on that, didn't he? Because
a couple of years back,
the team that starts with M, and it took him like 2 minutes, and then he said, oh, McLaren.
But yeah, no, in the end, I do think that, you know, it's shaping up to be quite an interesting season. And fingers crossed, Felipe Drugovich will be working hard on the sim there to get the Aston Martin up to scraps with the guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, how good.
How good.
IndyCar. Not the chaos that we saw last year at Laguna Seca.
No, definitely not.
As Townsend Bell brought up, holy shit, almost an own goal from England there. As Townsend Bell quite wisely brought up, it's not the last round of the championship. It was just another IndyCar race now in the middle of the season. But we did get a little bit of chaos towards the end.
Well, I think one of the other sort of comments that I really took from those two commentators on the stream there, not obviously Tom Gamble, but the authentic sort of American commentators, was the fact that a yellow and a caution, that is in the United States, brings more yellows. And the moment we got the first one there around sort of lap 50 up until the end of the race, it really didn't get racing for more than sort of six laps.
Yeah, I mean, and similar to actually St. Petersburg, friend of the show, Marcus Armstrong, just kind of took a look, probably at the time and scoring a couple of times, said, this race is getting boring. It could do with a yellow flag. So he kind of was the catalyst for a little bit of late chaos in his incident that he had with Christian Lundgaard.
Yeah.
But we let's not dwell too much on that one.
But no, yeah, definitely.
Who won?
Commanding drive by Palou.
Yeah, Jesus. He's so good. He's in the same Verstappen category for the IndyCar guys, where it's like, sorry team, I think he actually just might be that good.
To be honest, you know, a lot of skeptics, you know, like yourself, go back to Scott Dixon being an all-rounder sort of guy, and I do agree. Mm-hmm. The longevity of the fact that he's now almost 45.
Yeah.
And he's still at the front, he's still racing for wins, and he's still racing for championships is incredible.
Absurd.
It's
yeah.
absurd. But if there is one guy on that grid that I look to essentially carry that torch that Scott Dixon has been doing for the, you know, last 20 years, it's probably Alex Palou.
His win rate is right up there.
It's up there. He's impressive around that Laguna Seca track. He's literally driven there four times. He's finished four times on the podium, and he's got two wins.
Yeah. With the competitiveness of IndyCar nowadays, he is going to have to be in there for 20 years. He's in it for the long haul.
Oh, 100%. And to be honest, looking at this championship, obviously we're getting towards ovals. The Penske's have been strong. But let's be honest here. He's a championship contender for this year. I think
Palou,
Scott...
undoubtedly. I think
Palou, Scott, and the Penske guys, Penske's. Are essentially running for that championship.
Yeah. Is there anyone... I feel like we're excluding someone. Oh, Ward's up there, but he's just not... He just can't finish it off.
He's just a bit up and down at the moment.
Yeah.
Let's wait and see. That's the great thing about IndyCar. Unlike Formula One, where we pretty much used to think that it was Max Verstappen winning every race, and now it's sort of a Max Verstappen Lando Norris show.
Yeah.
In IndyCar, it's still sort of a bit of a coin toss.
Yeah, you've still got... Like, that was the thing I was thinking. It was, a 95-lap race at Laguna Seca, which was, I think, probably 10 laps too long, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But with 5:10 to go, no idea. Still could have been anyone. Genuinely still
no
could have
joke.
Been anyone.
Yeah, no. It could have been Colton Herta. I think it could have been Kirkwood was there as well. A lot of push to pass there on Colton Herta, but unfortunately couldn't use it down to the fact that he was fuel saving. But really what struck with me was the fact that whatever strategy Palou was on, he looked like he was on to win.
And yeah, I always think that's the golden race. Like anytime I've sat in with Marcus and the engineers and the team before a race, and when we're talking about strategy and what tires should we start on, we're like, look, can we just save ourselves the bullshit and just say, let's just do what Palou does?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest,
I don't know why you wouldn't do that. If you were following Palou and he went into the pit lane and you stay out, that's your fault that your race turns to shit. You do what he does. The man walks on water.
He does indeed. But, pretty hectic race there at Laguna Seca. We'll have another one in Mid-Ohio in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we will.
And until then, we've got the Austrian Grand Prix this weekend.
Grand Prix this weekend, is it?
Yes, a triple header. Austria and then Silverstone.
F2 as well?
I believe F2's there as well.
Oh, groovy, groovy.
So, plenty of news coming to you next week.
Yeah. Well, but, should we hit some F2 chat?
Yeah, let's hit some F2 chat.
Did you watch the sprint race?
I did. It was very early morning, though, for myself, so very quite difficult to follow. But I think let's focus on this on the main event there.
Well, I mean, the only reason I really wanted to talk about the sprint race is that it was the return of Victor Martins.
Yes.
Which lasted all of a corner and a half in the feature.
It did last all of a corner and a half in the feature. ART getting their second win of the year, obviously, after the, you could call it good luck, but also at the same time the strong pace.
Victory. Yeah.
Of O'Sullivan there in Monaco. But no, strong performance from Victor in the sprint. And then obviously the feature. If there's anybody that's got to be quite disappointed at the fact that his, you know, Mechachrome engine let go, it's got to be Joshua Derksen.
Mate, yeah, I forgot about that.
Because let's be honest here. Juan Correa did an amazing race to get back up to P3. But let's not forget that Joshua Derksen on that race was 11 seconds in front of him. So according to my calculations, had he lost no more time than
Even say he lost 4 seconds to one over the stint,
he would have still won that race.
Yeah.
Which
in,
I think
in
is...
an, in an aches. I'm just going to call
it does
aches.
Ache. Of course it does.
No. In an AIX.
Oh, in an AIX. Yes. But it does ache.
Yeah, I can imagine anything aches to drive, actually.
But, no, going back to this weekend in Formula 2, there's nothing that has made me happier than seeing Juan Manuel Correa, not on the podium once, on the podium twice.
Yeah.
Because the FIA can say all they want about track limits. That guy has stood on the podium twice. He's got twice a P3. And do you know what? That Dams car looks hella fast.
Yes, stick that up your ass. But no, really good to see it. Like, because he's the bloke, right? The bloke is just resilience personified.
Yeah, to be honest, as a racing driver, I don't often say this. You've got your idols that you've always looked up to ever since you were a child. Mm. But there's very rare few cases where you race against guys who you've raced against for your whole career and you actually look up to. Because as a racing driver, you want to be the best.
Yeah.
So, of course, you want to be, you know, inside your mind, tell yourself that you're the best out there on track. But if there is one guy that I would consider an inspiration, I would consider an idol, and I would consider, you know, there's no words in the dictionary or in the thesaurus that I could find.
No, well, that's where they'd be.
To essentially personify Juan Manuel Correa return.
No,
his return.
He's indescribably impressive as a guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's the man.
And
no other way.
To honestly, on top of that, people call it fate. People call it coincidence.
Hmm.
To get that result of getting officially his first podium in Formula 2, 5 years to the day that he'd obviously finished with Antoine Hubert on the podium in the Castellet.
Mm. That's Antoine's home win as well.
That's written in the stars.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I'll be honest with you on that feature race Sunday, I had a wee tear in my eye.
I had a tear. Yep.
I had a wee tear in my eye.
I'm not ashamed to admit I had a tear.
No.
Because it's, you know, people at home who have, you know, been close to anyone who's passed away, it's not a sadness or a happiness moment, that is it, on the warm day. It's obviously, you know, you're happy for one, but you're sad thinking about the situation. It's a weird feeling.
It's
a weird kind of emotion. It's hard to describe.
But I would call it happiness on the fact that, you know, he's managed to carry on both his and Antoine's legacy, getting back on that podium through the most tumultuous times that he had after that race, of course.
Yeah.
You know,
a tough year, nonetheless. It's, you know, a tough season in the grand
scheme of
things.
A tough season so far.
Is nothing, but, yeah.
So far, yeah. And no, it was a beautiful moment.
No, I shed a tear. You know, boys don't cry, men do. I stand by that.
Indeed, James.
At least one cry every 2 weeks. It has to happen.
It's got to be a tactical cry after an eye out anyways. But
you do have to have a tactical cry, that's true.
How about we get on some
great if to, who won the feature? We should probably just give him a
Jack Crawford.
Jackie Moon. How have I forgotten that?
Jackie Moon in the Dams. It's a double Dams podium nonetheless.
Jacques Lunet
with an absolute masterful drive.
How did I feel bad for forgetting that? And his birthday not too long ago as well.
Indeed.
Yeah, big shout out.
I hope he had a massive night out on the old Sunday there.
I don't know. Drogovic could dob him in. What was Moon like?
What was Jackie?
Jack left before Sunday.
So he went partying. Let's be honest with ourselves. We know Jackie Moon. He does like a good bash every now and then. And
yeah, sure. Yep. Couldn't have put it better myself.
But shall we move on to some crisis?
Should we step into the crisis room? Should we go downstairs into the bunker?
We shall. Now, I don't know if this is the same sting as I think that's last the right time. Sting. Yeah?
Well, we won't know until I listen
we
to it.
We won't know until we listen to it, but yes.
We're in the crisis room.
And what are the crises that we're trying to solve today? At least the sort of short list that we've got to pick from to sort of divulge and, you know, sort of pour our minds into. Obviously, me and James, with our vast experience of life, we like to think that we know a few things and we may be able to solve some crises out there. So, James, throw them at me.
Yeah, okay, mate. So, a choice of three. Europe aims to end space access crisis with Iran's 6 inaugural launch.
Okay.
Then we've got Hooters has abruptly shut 40 locations as restaurant crisis deepens.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got something's got to give as the cost of living crisis threatens to change festivals forever.
I'm going to go down the Hooters route.
Do you want to think about that again?
Well, I consider myself a sort of a restaurateur.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I've got a bit of experience in the sort of entertainment and restaurateur business.
So this lovely lady here is no longer working for Hooters, apparently. Let's see what's gone on. It's known for this. It's a struggling chain such as Red Lobster. The raft of closures began over the weekend. The company is thought to be in dire financial situation. She's going into chapter 11. Okay, so nothing good. In fact, boss has said 41-year-old brand. Oh, it's a 41-year-old brand, Hooters. Remains highly resilient and relevant. I mean, to be fair, it's a staple of pop culture. Like, everyone knows what Hooters is and what they're about. But in the modern world, I can see how it might be struggling.
Well, definitely same here. The one question I have is, did they shut the one on Armstrong Avenue there in Indianapolis?
We'll have to launch an inquiry.
We shall.
Whether or not the one on Armstrong Avenue is still open for business.
Because call it kismet, but that was quite an interesting sort of location to put Armstrong Avenue
well,
there.
Well, you mentioned earlier in the pod, mate, written in the stars.
Rightly so.
Yeah. How do we do this, mate? How do we save Hooters? They had an airline. Did you know that?
I didn't, actually.
Hooters actually had an airline, I think back in the, might have been early O's or late, or the 90s or 80s. But
they call it Hooters Air?
I don't know, actually. Let's have a look. So throw some ideas at me, mate. As a restaurateur, as you previously claimed, what do you think they do? Because I know that the wings go pretty hard, but...
See, that's the thing. I was going to say, you've got to make your wings top wings.
Yeah.
Because with you know, in all honesty, as a European coming to the US, Hooters being a US chain, what is your main and unique selling point? Your wings.
It was called Hooters Air.
Hooters Air.
Which, again, you know, it's a good wing motif.
I was going to go for wing. That's getting cut.
Do you remember what I said at the start of the podcast about making my life easier tomorrow and just not acting like a damn fool on the podcast?
Yeah, it's all right. Rory will cut that out. So obviously Hooters at an airline.
The airline's gone under. We're just looking at the restaurant. That's what we're looking at. This is the crisis. Let's stick to one crisis at a time.
Yeah, okay.
But so, yeah, the wings. So it's
the wings
wing
are the unique selling point,
and
right?
And across the board, I would say the breasts might be more important. But the wings, you think?
See, I think wings and breasts are the most important on a menu when it comes to chicken.
Of course.
And
birds in general, really. Any kind of fowl, you know, you're probably looking at the breast. You're probably looking at the wing there.
You got to have that barbecue sauce that hits on point.
Thighs aren't bad.
Thighs definitely up there with some of the best cuts that you need.
Mm.
But yeah, no, I honestly believe, you know, we've been fellow customers at Chick-fil-A.
We've been, yeah, relentless customers at Chick-fil-A, actually.
When we were last in the US.
To America.
And, you know, from my personal point of view, having gone to Hooters in the last year, mm-hmm. having gone to Chick-fil-A, the wings, the breasts, and the thighs are better at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, they close Sundays, which is a real mark against their name, but that's obviously for religious reasons, so we won't hold that against them.
Definitely not.
So if you were would you do it? Would you look at a merger if you were Hooters?
See, if I was Hooters, I'd look at it.
It seems like that might just be a real cash drain. If you're Chick-fil-A and you're doing well and you're taking Sundays off, you don't need that stress, you know what I mean?
No, I'd if I was Hooters, I'd be looking at a sort of hostile takeover from Chick-fil-A.
What if they did? Because I understand that, look, let's not beat around the bush. A lot of the previous, you know, candidates for jobs at Hooters might now have opportunities that, you know, go beyond waitressing. You know, there's internet entrepreneurial endeavors that they can undertake, mm-hmm. and things like that. So would you say that they need to get online, perhaps like a Hooters, Deliveroo, but sort of, you know, let's not beat around the bush, cross it over with OnlyFans, and you could have an OnlyFans model deliver your wings.
Potentially.
That could be a real business saver, because then you're looking at transport, so you've got, you know, you've got the delivery fee that you can stick on top of it.
Yep.
You can then charge probably a premium rate for the delivery driver. And if they take your aforementioned points of increasing the quality of the wings across the board, I think you're probably starting to look towards a more sort of cash forward business than any, you know, the money pit that Hooters currently is.
Well, I totally agree with that. And to be honest, you know, I will go back to, you know, what I would call one of my key principles and my core principles there of myself. You want to be able
wings and tits
to have some quality.
Yeah.
And the product just hasn't been up to scratch, according to Rivals.
So do you think there's been a discrepancy, or perhaps the bigger issue is a parallel in quality? Has the service staff quality's decreased?
I'm not going towards the service staff here. I'm literally digging into the wings.
Okay,
the
you're thighs, only talking about the thighs of the, okay,
the chicken.
Right,
the chicken for me ain't up to scratch.
Right. So so chicken across the board, potential merger with OnlyFans, who are looking to clean up their image, by the way, which could then present some opportunities for, you know, you're under 25, mate, sorry, you're under 35s, under 40s, perhaps even in the food delivery game.
Exactly.
Because that's probably an unrepresented industry. How many Deliveroo drivers do you get who are women?
A very few.
Well, quite. England scored! England has scored! 19 minutes and 40. Oh, and he's fucking
it's offside.
God's sake.
But anyways, back to the conversation.
Yeah, so I think we've helped out there.
I believe we're on the right track.
So, right.
We've.
If there's any execs listening from OnlyFans and or Hooters, get in touch. We can sort of broker the merger. We're obviously
easily
not involved in either side. There's
just a 5, 10, 15, maybe a 20% commission.
Yeah, 20%. That's standard.
You're standard. You're standy. I was just trying to sort of float the boat out there, but, you know, just get in touch.
Yeah. And if from last week's episode anyone wants to collaborate with me on designthestress.com, I'm still open for opportunity.
Exactly. You know, we're looking for some major sort of GoFundMe cash money to get the business off the ground.
Yeah. If anyone's got a dad in private equity, or, you know, a parent in private equity, excuse me.
Or venture capital.
Venture capital. Yeah, anything. Just cash. Or if they happen to know a Saudi Arabian prince.
Bravo.
Let's just cut out all the middlemen. Let's just get the money from the source.
And how about we go on it?
Go on what?
That business. Get on it too.
On the old, on my dress website.
Yeah, and the booze.
Which booze?
Beers.
Oh, you said get on it. Like,
get on it.
Get stuck. Sorry, that was me just.
Get there. Stuck in. Anyways.
I've gone full boomer there.
Yeah, you have.
I have really gone full boomer.
You've gone full circle there, brother. Well, anyways, I think this wraps it up there. to be honest, another episode of Clem's Wine Corner.
As Wine Corner Wednesday too, and the last one came out on a Friday, so that's one, a quick turnaround from us, and a delivery on a promise.
And on top of that, we've solved a crisis, we've delved into the very impressive and difficult to entangle world of motorsport. We've had a sort of low-key guest that gave us a quick sort of ha-ha in the background. A couple of
chuckles in the background, yeah. Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate all of you for listening, and hey, you'll hear us next week.
How about that?
Ciao. Oh, and actually, there's a bloody the Indy 500 vlog that's on the internet now. That's
exactly.
On YouTube, so go and watch that too.
Stick around.
And buy a t-shirt. We bought way too many. Cheers, team.
Cheers.